It's another Friday afternoon, and you're tuned to another episode of The Sod Show. At Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/The Sod Show, and Sod Show.com. Did I say that already? It doesn't matter. There are sounds in the background. There's a generator. That's okay. I think there's a sound of somebody filling a watering can. We're sitting at the back of the RHS press office, and in my company today is Toby Buckland.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Sod Show Garden Podcast.
Yeah, good as gold, Peter, yeah.
Oh, I'm an Arsenal fan, so if I was talking to Rob Hardy, I'd be right in my element. But this is like kind of meeting Liam Brady. It's at that level. It's
Pat Jennings.
Brilliant goalkeeper. Yeah, yeah. He scored that kick out, didn't he score? He did. There's a black and white one of it on YouTube, him scoring from the absolute kick out. Yeah, nobody touched the ball in the meantime. I think it was disallowed.
I've been supporting the old Arsenal since they were Irish. They were an Irish team, weren't they? They're in the halcyon days. And that's when I first got into them, really. I was very young. It was a 3-2 win over Man United in the FA Cup. I said, I'm going back away. But it's still beautiful though, isn't it?
We live on that past glory just for the minute, and we won't get into the Man United Arsenal thing, even though we finished higher than them in the league. For those who mightn't be aware, Toby, how and what makes you one of the coolest dudes I've ever seen wearing a waistcoat? You can big yourself up. Nobody listens to this anyway.
The thing is, I like a waistcoat because it's very slimming. It's very slimming, and it's kind of formal. But I'll tell you what it is, and this is being completely honest, is that I've always had suits and worn suits, sometimes to work and check filming at Chelsea Flash. I'll wear a suit jacket, but I do look like an Irish mobster at a funeral in a suit jacket. I'm sort of my my family, and I can say that because I am obviously from Irish stock, so, and they wear navvies indeed, so there we are. You know, it's just I wear a waistcoat well, and suit jackets I don't, so that's what started me on it. And the other thing is like when I'm doing practical gardening, or when I've sort of been working at it, you know, like on the tools, waistcoats are really useful when you're gardening, because they're kind of, I don't get me too much into this, but they're just obviously warm, but you've got pockets where you need them, you can. Oh, you look at me like I'm mad, but there it is. It's all real advice, but they not too hot, not too formal.
What makes you the coolest dude on the planet? Who is Toby Buckland, for those who don't know? How do you earn your crust, I suppose?
Well, I suppose gardening, that's the thing I've always done, gardening, practical gardening, and quite a lot of broadcasting about practical gardening. And so what I do for the BBC these days is their shows coverage, talking about garden designs and really what gardeners at home can learn from them, and also what makes them clever or not, you know, that's the sort of the analysis, I suppose.
Have you done the books? I know you do a lot of talks.
Yeah, I've written books on flowers, and again, sort of very much with that idea that you could get something from them. They're not simply think pieces. There's something tangible that you could take away and hopefully have a go at yourself.
If you don't mind me saying this, but you kind of remind me a little bit of that Liam Brady left foot chip that used to be on the start of Match of the Day, but you came from the left-hand side and went to the top right-hand corner. Yeah. I can't remember the BBC's commentary on it. Quite reticent of, they think it's all over. It kind of is now, yeah.
Free waiting again for the cross from Price. Stapleton. Oh, Pat Rice in there. Oh, Brady won it beautifully.
But you kind of have that swagger about you, which is, I'm Toby. That's
really?
That's all you need to know.
Really?
In the Mark Diacono sense, it comes across as kind of effortless on your part. Do you do that? Do you get up in the morning and go, who wants to have breakfast with the man? I am the man. You all know it. Let's go. Let's get on the train.
Well, not really. But I think the thing, you know, when if you do something for long enough, you eventually either stop doing it because you're just fighting all the time, or you don't overthink it. You just know what, you just get used to doing something, don't you? And I think when I used to first do broadcasting, I used to analyse it, think for hours and hours on how it would be. intensely right before doing it, and that way you sort of always got a frown on your face, you're always looking like you're concentrating and you're always thinking about your next move, whereas now I don't do it so intensely. I think about it pretty much all the time, and so when I come to film, I'm sort of just got something to say, I suppose. That helps. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Did you ever get that though, where the it's like such a bingo here, but like I've always said, like when you meet, I know I can hear you singing it with me, but you see that woman on the far side of the bar and you, it's that Dylan Moran line, you say like, if I don't spend the rest of my life with this woman, having never seen or met her before, I'm gonna have itchy trousers, life won't be worth living. The alternative to that and the opposite side of that is when you fall out of love, those little things, the way she wiggles her nose or scratches her ear, they start to irate you, to get on your nerves. In a horticultural photosynthetic sense, did you ever have a fallout of love with the horticulture? Did that ever happen to you?
No, not really, I wouldn't say so, because it's one of those things. I do see things, I think actually I'm not interested in that, that just doesn't really float my boat. I'm a person, an enthusiast, that's what I am. I know this now, I'm old enough to know that there's something I just get into, like, so for example, I'm into a few things at the minute. Graham Wasabi, I really like the idea of. I'm trying to help someone. Just with these mad capers, really. Trying to help someone create a commercial wasabi nursery. And, you know, that's so left field. This time last year, I'd never grown it. Now I'm all over it. And same with, like, pictorial meadows or seed packet meadows. I really like them, really into them. Got a use for them. Just completely occupying all my time. And I know October, when I'm buying new roses, I'll be back on my first love, if you like, back into the old briars and the blooms. And it's sort of, I realise, I'm an enthusiast. I just like doing, I just get to grips with one thing at a time.
If I was to ask you to describe yourself, would you say you had an ability to design gardens, but yet you didn't? And I don't want to categorise you. I don't want to box you off. But I think there are those who make a name for themselves solely as garden designers and then end up becoming something else. And I'll give you a funny example. There was an Irish girl I knew, and she said to me at the height of the recession, all the garden designers are going to become grow-your-own experts. And when the wheel evolves back around, we'll have no garden designers. And I was saying, well, do you have to be? And in reality, you do. But you just seem to be one of those that is... Right, you can play left back, you can play right back, you can play centre midfield, and you can also play striker. I don't mean to big you up, but you are pretty freaking cool at what you do and good at almost everything you touch.
Well, I like that, like I say, I think the thing is, the most useful thing is really coming from the point of view that I was trained to know a lot about plants. I say that, so that starts with knowing lots of them, and it's a tedious business learning the Latin and all the names. I mean, it's just mind-numbing and repetitious. You just have to do this. But when you start getting a key on it, once you get 10, I mean, I used to sit when I was first an apprentice and just look at books and read these, just mind-numbingly boring, hour after hour, to learn the names. Because once you get a name, you've got a handle then, and once you got the handle, you can get a story, then you've got an experience, perhaps you see it growing somewhere, you think, oh, I've seen that growing there, and it doesn't say in the books that it should, and then you add into that. And it's really that bedrock, I think, is that it underpins whether it's garden design, growing vegetables, whether it's advice, or, you know, presenting or writing. It's always underpinned by this idea of anecdotes and a built-up knowledge of plants, which you can't help but add to simply from leaving your house and walking down to buy a paper, because you just see the weeds in the street. And I love weed seedlings. I've always liked anything that runs amok. I like it because they're triers, you know. And when I see them in the paving stones, and so I'm like, God, that's useful. And you never know when it's going to be useful, because for example, you see lots of antirrhinums and underhanging baskets, or where hanging baskets used to be. You see lots of bedding plants now that get a little niche in the paving stones simply because they've sown and fallen down. And as soon as you see that, I think, well, that is useful because of wildflower meadows, or what they're called, fake wildflower meadows, if you like, because if they'll survive in the paving cracks, well, actually, that's quite a good thing to know for waste ground, or, you know, so the knowledge might not seem immediate, but it kind of comes around and you think, oh, I can apply that. And I do have a very, I've terrible memory for names, but I have a really good spatial memory.
You find that you walk down the street and you're holding hand with, I don't know, Shania Twain. Oh, that's a bad one. Okay, I can't do that. Beyonce. And she's holding your hand and everybody's looking at you going, he's holding hands with a really beautiful looking woman. And you're just looking at the cracks in the pavement.
Well, I'd say, you know, with Beyonce, I think I'd get my eyes off the floor. I mean, partly out of politeness, but also because I'm only human.
Do you do that bit where your mind was maybe as a child, you were sitting in school and you were staring out the window a little bit? Do you get what I'm saying? The daydreamer, but there's a reasoning behind the daydreaming.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing I really like is the feel of plants. You know, like people say, you know, there's this idea that the scent can take you back, but then so can the touch of something, the way it feels. And you know, I was always a great tree climber as a boy, and of course different trees have different beech trees, for example, have a smoothness. They're like a silver thin bark tree, so you can almost feel the core, really hard to the touch. Lime trees are shaped like a rugby ball in profile, so you can always, they've sort of got an inherent strength because of their egg shape, you know, that's what they are. You know, oak trees, they'd graze your fingers, you know, they're just every single one of them has a signature that you can read with your hands, and I like that.
Do you remember your first time that you ever presented on the telly, and you look back on it like the first time Boyzone released something and they look and go, oh god, please don't show that clip again. Do you have that? Do you identify with that? What was that?
Well, the thing was, I was working for Granada, and it was right at the time, well, I said I wasn't working for Granada, I wrote to them, and they had this new satellite channel. It was all sort of the burgeoning period of this, and the thing was, I knew I'd actually just done 6 months in television working for Channel 4. I wasn't a presenter, I was a researcher on it. And actually, I'll start right from the beginning, right? So I went for this job interview. I was at college, I was at the University of Greenwich, and I was just finishing my course there on landscape management, right? And my lecturer said, oh, there's a job for a programme on Channel 4. Do you want to apply for it? Because I was like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, Channel 4 is everything I really like. And I went down for this job interview, and I sat in this room, and the people were asking me quite technical details about kind of like where you would get kit from, you know, the camera kits. And so I still don't know now. I don't know anything about the technical side of it. And also, what would you do if, I don't know, you couldn't get enough men in an audience for a television show? How would you get more males in it, you know? Which is, I don't know, you know, I have no idea. You know, I guess they want you to say go to a fire station or go to something, a manly place. And I don't know. And I said, well, thank you for coming in. And I sort of was just standing up and I said, I don't know anything about making television. I'd never worked in it before. But I can go into pretty much any garden anywhere and tell you everything that's growing in it. And they were like, ooh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. And they phoned me up that afternoon and said, you know, that's exactly what we want. That's what we want, because we got all the skills about finding kit and audience compliance or whatever they'd call it, but that was the one thing they didn't have. So I got this job with this company called Brian Lapping, and we made this program called Garden Party for Channel 4, and it was my job to go around the gardens and write up the reports about what was interesting about them. And really, that was my first experience of television, and I wouldn't say I was very good at it. What's interesting isn't necessarily what you think is interesting. You need to know what people don't know. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but, like, okay, so here's the thing. I remember telling my daughter after Mom passed, she said, I miss Mom. I remember, and this isn't about that, this isn't the violin bit. I remember saying to her, yeah, but you just wave to the man on the moon. He's up there.
Yeah.
And he'll say hi to Nanny. She came back at me and said, what do I do during the daytime? So I said, he's white and the sky is white, so he's there, and because nobody can see him, nobody waves at him all day, so don't you worry, you might think he's not waving back, but he absolutely is. And we got into this story about how his legs are so tall and how, like, he lay down one day and a cow tried to jump over him and they ended up having a cup of tea together. To put that back to you in the TV sense, what you would find different, bearing in mind you see cracks in paving whilst holding hands with Beyonce.
No.
Okay, well, okay, that's the exception rather than the rule. But you do look at things, or I have an ability. Yeah. Do you kind of identify with those and then turn around and have to say, right, I better not tell them the story about the man in the moon. What I'll actually show them are the cracks in the patio. Yeah. Does that question identify with you?
Well, I like the man in the moon thing, because do you know why? Because I just think it's about thinking bigger. It's often, the other thing is that the thing I like about that is because it's taking two things and connecting them, and there is a connection. You know, simply, you know, the man in the moon, you're sort of talking to the heavens, and that's where your nan's gone. Do you know what I mean? And that's quite a good... That works on quite a few levels. And horticulture, what I realised, when I was too narrow when I first started doing it. I used to think, right, so very literally, we're going to find roses, we're going to talk about roses. Well, actually, the thing about roses is, obviously, they're interesting in their own right, but what do you grow with them? That's interesting. It's like, well, how do you make roses look more like roses? How do you make roses look better? You know, it's not just about roses. It suddenly becomes about other things. You know, so how do you make roses more scented? Well, they've got to be near water, ideally, because water makes your nose work better. So it's kind of... To find a story about roses, you don't necessarily have to look at just the roses. You combine it with something else.
For me, one of life's great pleasures is picking fruit from a tree and eating it.
Not just apples, but pears, plums, damsons, medlars, cherries and more.
Britain is brilliantly suited for growing the most amazing range of fruit trees. And yet we've turned our backs on wonderful old varieties like this Crawley Beauty in favour of less tasty varieties from further afield. 90% of all the fruit that we eat in this country is imported. And as a gardener with a passion for homegrown produce, I find that statistic so worrying. Because not only are we losing our orchards, but we're in very real danger of losing our fruit-growing heritage. I think it's time that we put homegrown fruit back on the menu. So join me, Toby Buckland, for the Great British Fruit Tree Revival.
Let's sidetrack slightly, because... I don't mean how you popped up on my radar. I mean, I was aware of you logically, but there's an inherent Irish thing. And I told this story before that I rang home from Salt Lake City, and I'd been on this March Gone 2017, and I'd been on the front page of the Salt Lake Tribune, I'd been on the TV over there the day before, and I was doing a radio interview that day, and the list goes on, and you know all of that, listen to this. When my dad put me on speakerphone and said, let me put you on to your sister. And my sister said, Dad, it's Peter, he's calling from the States. And my dad said, well, I don't want to do my dad's accent, but he said, well, unless he's going to help me empty this dishwasher, I don't really care. And I told him this story when I was giving a speech in the US. You could be Bono. It just doesn't matter who you are. That's not to be disrespectful to you, but in a nutshell, I was aware of you. But how you popped up on my radar and why I went, well, that's different, was because you started doing the Garden Festival.
Yeah.
And you didn't call it the Cheshire, sorry, that's the Dillamore way of pronouncing it, Garden Show, or the Tatton Park Flourish. It's Toby's Garden Fest. Well, and I kind of liked that. I made it personal. And
well, the thinking was... Well, it's a bit weird at first doing it, because it's slightly odd. But funny enough, I look at my name and I don't see it and think, oh, you know, like Toby Buckland's Garden Festival, Toby's Garden Festival. I look at that and go, oh, it's like actually if I walk into a pub and I'm on the telly, I'll watch it, but I won't actually think for a minute that that's me. I would just, it's sort of set up a degree of separation. You know, or I think, oh, I haven't seen this before. And I think, oh, yeah, the funny one, that looks familiar. I'll be watching the telly, think, oh, that looks familiar. I think, oh, yeah, that's me. I filmed that. But I've seen it from the other way around, you see. So it's familiar, but not as, I've never seen it from that direction. And it sounds a bit self-serving and weird, that. But who looks in the mirror and knows what they really look like, you know? That's my excuse. And anyway, the Toby thing came about because... We didn't want to create another garden show. So I have a partner who's got a magazine called Country Gardener, Alan. And we were talking about how we wanted to, you know, do something that was very, and this word's overused, but inclusive. And we wanted to make something that was very personable and not a show. So at a show, you go in and you're shown stuff. You troop around, and it can be almost like an experience of just being sort of, you're like a zombie sometimes, you know, you sort of go in through with the crowds and you get paraded in front of this, and then you look at that, you see the same view as everybody else. We wanted to do something where it was much more inviting, and people are part of the action, really. So much more demonstrations, less showing, more doing. And it, and a festival to me is a bit like a, it's a bit like a party. Parties are all about who turns up. You know, that's the point. And if you come to the, come to a festival, you're part of the action, aren't you? Like at a pop fest, a music festival, you're part. The crowd is the fifth element, and that's the point.
Most would be aware of how the Chelseas of this world, the Hamptons, the Tattons would work. Maybe the Gardener's World Live stuff, and or the Gardener's Illustrated stuff. And I've seen your name pop up inadvertently because you're on that. It's Codeline or Oasis or now Liam or Noel playing at Glastonbury, and it changes ever so slightly. But you maybe had an insight better into the behind and the front of house of them. Do you change that model? Do you eliminate the show gardens? Yeah. If I'm to walk in the door, when are they actually?
Well, sort of got one in April, Powdrum Castle, and then one this September, 16th, 17th of September at Ford Abbey, which is a beautiful old Cistercian, is that what they call it? Cistercian Abbey. And yeah, really, really good garden, fantastic place. But it's not, the thing is, it's also about being different, offering something unusual. And what we like is stuff that's made at the festival that can only be consumed at the festival or bought at the festival. So the food offering's fantastic. You know, we're always, and always kind of the place. So they're very foodie areas where I live in the West Country. But, for example, we had a gin still and they made a festival gin. That's just a one-off kind of thing to do. Lots of tasting and loads of botanicals in it. Lots of, and what we like people to come in the door, bring a picnic rug, you know, whatever you want. Just come in and enjoy. All the talks are free. Everything once you're in the door, apart from the plants you buy or, you know, coffees and stuff is free, so it's kind of it's a slightly different model than most, but it's not to, that's not an inherent criticism of what anyone else does. It's just that you've got to do, you cut your own sway, haven't you? That's it.
What's it like when you do those things, and we're back to that, I guess, variation of a crack in the paving with a life cycle complete, now starting to regenerate and the oddest place going, and it's not a Budleia in brackets. Yeah. I remember going out on my own as Donegan Landscaping at 24 going 25, people giggled a bit, and then the whole thing of trying to get on radio when no radio station, no gardening radio show existed in the country. So I said, right, I'll start my own. And people giggled. And you seem to have done that thing, which is, I'll just get up in the morning, I'll walk down the street, I'll be fine. Boom, I'm on television. I think I'll start my own garden festival. And it's like everything you touch turns to gold. On one hand, however, as I said to Andrew Wilson and Gavin McWilliam at Chelsea, when you're that bloody good at what you do and it comes across as seamless, sometimes it's the case that's been 3-4 years of work behind the scenes, it comes across as effortless. Do you notice that you do it so well or in the way that you do it?
I think, not really, but I think what it is not, it, the effort's all in the past. You know that thing where you, it's, you know, you've thrown a party, cooked food, had family or loads of friends over, like a big one. Like, say like it's your turn to do New Year's Eve, right? You know what, and how that can go either one or two ways. You either get it done in beforehand so that you're chilled out when everyone arrives, or you just leave it till the last minute and then just go with it. Well, I'm in the former camp. I do all the work early. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. And so then I'm across it. That's the thing. And so by the time it comes around, it's just a more enjoyable experience. I haven't always been like that. In fact, I'm a really late last minute person by nature. But it's just that you get, it's just too stressful to live my life like that. I've learned just to. I always used to drive really fast as well. You know, I used to drive every. I used to exhaust myself. You know, just going to speed home, and it's just exhausting. Now I just sit there, just cut off and take it easy, stop for a coffee whenever I want, and it's. I don't know. I'm not. I think as a sort of life lesson. You know, this is just for me personally. I think I've stopped swimming upstream, you know. Do you know what I mean? I'm sort of just going into this where the water moves more slowly, and it's fine, I suppose. That's the point. But at the same time, being more reflective, because there's a lot to be said. I think you learn loads of lessons and loads of things, certainly in gardening. If you actually stop and think about what, you know, even just an amateur gardener, you just had lots of gardens, made lots of mistakes. They're not mistakes, they're lessons, hard learned.
Yeah, but then, as I said a couple of weeks ago, the only... somebody pointed out that such and such was an expert and such. And I said, yeah. And she said he was able to tell me all of these things of what not to do. And I was saying to her, yeah, but the only reason you can know not to do that is because you've actually gone and broken it.
Yeah.
And then you fixed it again, or you remedied it, or you replaced it. When you look at your career, I know I look at mine the odd time and go, oh, well, I can't believe I did it when I was 24, was what I was saying when I was 24, and now I'm 41. I have to remind the ladies in my life that I'm not exactly David Beckham. I don't have 4 months off in the summer, and I don't look as well as he does, maybe. Okay, I'm probably heading at the place I don't want to go, but in a pair of jocks or with his aftershave on, if that makes any sense. Do you look back and go, I wish I had done that instead of that?
Not so much. I mean, I used to. I think the thing is always so important, just, you know, whatever you do in life, to have stuff to look forward to. You know, have things that you're doing, cooking up a plan. And interesting you're saying about plans that last 4 years or longer. I think it's quite important to do that. And, I think the thing that keeps... everyone's different, but like I say, I'm an enthusiast. So right now, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm looking on eBay and all the gum trees for a spiral staircase, because if I can get a spiral staircase in my own garden, I'm just really excited about it, having a spiral staircase, and it does lead to a balcony, but then I can redo the patio, and I like laying paving, and you know, so it's kind of I've got the jigsaws need to come together for all this to work, but I'm really excited about it. I'm a man of simple pleasures.
We've been talking for about 25 minutes and you haven't stopped smiling the whole way through.
No.
Back home, I remember being, well, it was actually an insult, but I took it as a compliment. And this girl walked out of a pub and I was just sitting down and she said, look at you there. I have to do a really strong Irish accent in this. Look at you there, you big happy fecker. And I said, sorry? And she said, look at you there with the big happy head in you. And all I can think of is, if you were sitting beside me, it would have been the plurals of the variation. Do you find yourself living in your own little place in happy land where nothing really gets on the nerves?
Well, I actually, what it is being gainfully employed, isn't it? You know, that's always nice. it's always nice, isn't it? And I sort of think, yeah, I got this. I'm doing this. When I get home, I've got these things to do. But it's not too much. And right now, status quo where I've got, you know, enough interesting things on to keep my enthusiasm, and they roll one into the other, if you know what I mean. For example, your radio piece, you're doing this, making a radio show, you're meeting people, and that is going to help you with any writing you're doing, because you've got something to say, you've got anecdotes, you give a talk, everything is coming. It's a confluence of ideas and stuff, and I feel with like snooker, you know, watch the snooker with old Ronnie O'Sullivan, and he talks about his life coming together and things coming together. Well, for things to work, sometimes you just need that lucky alignment of the planets, and I feel I have that at the minute.
Well, I'll quote what they used to say to me as a child. Well, number one, Mom used to say, can you not sit still like the rest of your brothers and sisters? My teachers used to say to me, well, you can't. But it was the Freud quote of Da Vinci that, like most men of genius, he needed constantly to occupy his mind, which essentially translates as can't sit still for 2 minutes anyway. Toby, if people want to get in touch and want to go and hit up the Garden Festival, how do they best go do that?
Toby Garden Fest is the website, you know, with the W's on the front. Yeah, it's just, well, it would be, wouldn't it? And funny enough, because it's a lot of people do come in, from all over, but coming from Ireland, anywhere where Flybe flies, basically, because they're based in Exeter, and the Powdrum Festival's there, and the Ford Festival's up the road, so it's kind of easy breeze to get to.
You do the Twitter thing quite well, actually.
At Toby Buckland. I do like Twitter, I really do, because people send funny things and just get in touch. It's a nice conversation, isn't it? You know, you just get to meet people, it's good.
All right, for those of you listening out there, somebody actually do this. Send me a picture of Toby photoshopped into a photograph of Beyonce and send it on to me if you could. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. My thanks to Toby at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow. and sochow.com. Have a great weekend, the great outdoors. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Toby.
Thank you.